Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This being our first time talking to you since the end of the season, and in particular since Tom left, I know you wanted to leave it at the statement, but I'm just curious if you guys had a desire to bring Tom back the coming season.
Yeah, I think that's, a lot of water under the bridge, Mike. And like I said, we're really focused on this season and trying to look at our opportunities and make decisions and plan and prepare to be as competitive as we can be this year. So that's really what our focus is on.
It didn't surprise you at all, him leaving?
Yeah, I think we've covered all that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Agenda Free Friday, which is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. And joining us now in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester is Christopher Gasper. He's powered by the commuter rail. Remember, if you're an essential worker, maybe a medical professional or first responder, the MBTA is running additional commuter rail trains into Boston to help you arrive for your early morning shift and social distance while on board. Visit MBTA.com/coronavirus for schedules and more information. Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe /Channel 5. We'll get to that in a little bit. Congratulations, I guess.
Thank you.
Right off
What's
the top.
What's up, movie star?
Hey, what's going on?
These fancy,
Naz,
fancy pants,
Jim?
TV Hello. Guys. I want to get to that a little later on, though.
Sure.
But why don't we start with this? Because yes. This was from the week. That was obviously Bill Belichick's conference call on Monday where, when asked about Tom Brady, he said that's water under the bridge. Maz and Murray felt that was disrespectful, petty on the part of Patriots coach Bill Belichick. Do you agree? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I didn't think it was petty. And he did say in the beginning of it that we'll be talking about what Tom accomplished for years to come. I just thought it was the standard playbook where he wasn't going to acknowledge the obvious and he wasn't going to answer the questions and he was going to stand by his statement, which is aggravating and annoying. And you think he should make an exception for the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's not going to do that because, let's be honest, none of those questions being answered reflect well on him. Why would he want to dredge it up and review it? It's not going to work for him.
So
he has nothing to gain.
Maz and Murray's point, maybe they want to articulate it, is that Bill Belichick owed Tom, he owed everybody an exception in this case, right, Maz?
Well, basically, yes. We're just not talking about someone that falls under the umbrella, Chris, of standard operating procedure. Tom Brady, there's nothing standard about Tom Brady's career with the Patriots. And I just thought Bill, especially when the day he traded Garoppolo, Bill went on and on and gushed for about 3.5-4 minutes, for goodness sake. So to me, it just, I just thought it was weak.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I just wasn't surprised or particularly offended by it. I mean, let's be honest, the real time for him to express great appreciation for what Tom Brady had accomplished was during that phone call. You know, it doesn't matter what he says to us. He should have said the stuff to Tom.
You're saying phone call when for the contract negotiations.
Correct. And you know, there are people who have posited that you look at Bill's statement, and if he had been as glowing in his praise for Tom, and if he had spoken that way about Tom when they actually spoke, instead of waiting until after he left and the statement the team put out, then, maybe there would have been a little bit of daylight there to get something done.
Murray, a thought?
Well, yeah, I just, Chris, I found it inconsistent because Bill is also not just a great coach. He's like a noted football historian.
Sure.
He won an Emmy, for God's sakes, being on that NFL 100 show.
Where he gave Brady zero credit. The whole time, Brady was like a lapdog, pretty much like, say something nice about me, say something nice, and he never did it while he was sitting right next to him.
Right, so he cares so deeply about the game and its greatest players, and he essentially treated one of those players, one in which he worked with for the last 20 years, hand-in-hand, who played the most important position, like any other guy. He treated him like any other Patriot that he's let go.
I know. It's aggravating. It's annoying. But it's not surprising to me. And, I wasn't really particularly offended by it. Maybe look, at this point, maybe I am just completely desensitized to the way that Bill behaves and goes about these things. But I wasn't surprised in the least that's the way that he went. You know, and again, because here's what I'd say about it. If in some way, shape, or form it benefited him, it made him look better to talk about it, he would have talked about it. But he had nothing to gain and everything to lose by trying to attempt to explain how he let the greatest quarterback of all time get away.
Yeah, so but this is my point, Chris. Just quickly, I'm not offended, and I wasn't surprised either. When I say I just think it's weak. So I didn't lose sleep over it, I didn't go there, oh, my God, he didn't talk. I didn't do any of that. I just think it's lame. It's pathetic. And whether you look good or not, that's when you do the right thing. That's the hardest time to do the right thing if it's a situation that doesn't necessarily reflect well on you, or that's when it is most gracious, when you have nothing to gain by it and you just say something about someone's professionalism and achievement purely as a courtesy and out of tact. That's when it actually means something.
So Chris is nodding. He agrees. I think Chris's point is...
I don't mean to yell at him.
No.
Yeah.
It's like you just... Acceptance is the price of freedom.
Yeah,
you're pretty much. This is what you're going to get from the guy, and that's how he's going to react.
I mean, if he wouldn't say it to the actual guy, right? Tom Brady, the guy that helped him win 6 Super Bowls, probably the greatest birthday present he's ever gotten since the guy was drafted 20 years ago on Bill's birthday. You know, and look, another birthday present, and I don't mean this in a morbid way in any way. God rest Dick Rabine's soul. But you know, another part of this for Bill's legacy is that the guy that actually pushed to draft him isn't around to sort of set the record straight about just what Bill's role was in drafting the guy. So when you look at this, it's like...
Are you implying something here? Let me just stop you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What are you implying there? What was Bill's role?
I think it was a toss-up. I think by the 6th round, he didn't care. And he was like, Dick Rabine, take the guy you want.
It was him and Rattay, right?
It was Tim Rattay and it was Tom Brady. And if you read Education of a Coach, Scott Pioli says in that book, if anybody ever tries to tell you that they knew what Tom Brady was going to be when we drafted him, they're lying.
Has Bill made that claim?
No, but I'm just saying when it comes to sort of a legacy standpoint.
Oh, I don't give him credit. It was luck. It was good luck.
Yeah. But I think the guy that, I mean, look, you were there. My understanding from what I've heard after the fact and what I've read, that the guy that really banged the table was Dick Rabine, late Dick Rabine.
Oh, I mean, you want a good one. And I'm going to look it up right now because I think it's on there. Bobby Greer has taken credit for this as well, if you can believe that. I'm going to look it up. I think his wiki page actually even says it. So I've never heard Bill take claim for the pick of Tom Brady. I'm sure he's taking pick for the development of him, which he deserves, deserves, you know, credit for. But the actual pick, it was all luck. You know, and that happens. And, you know, and if you're being real about it, most anyone who's successful agrees there's some luck along the way, right?
Now that I think of it quickly, Mike, the Brady in Decline show was responsible for the renaissance of Tom Brady beginning in 2014. I think we should take credit for Brady's resurgence
2014.
In later years.
You guys started that in 2009 when the station came on the air. That was Brady in Decline. Are you kidding me? I still remember that ESPN article that Felger was citing about him not being clutch anymore. Remember that?
No, but I'll take your word for it, I'm sure.
Oh, I still have the article. I'll bring it in next time. I still have it at home.
All right. Chris, your thoughts on where we are now, less than a week out from the draft, any developing opinions? And if you guys want to weigh in on that, you can. 617-779-0985. Bill Belichick's disrespect of Tom Brady this week. But now at the draft, any developing opinions on where we stand here now 6 days out?
Yeah, I think with the Patriots, you know, what I would like to see them do, and I think the more I read about this draft, I look at this draft, I talk to people about this draft, I think that there's a lot of feeling that there's value, which is the Patriots' favorite word. There's value beyond round one, and that this is a good draft to have multiple picks, and the Patriots do. They have 12 picks. The only problem is half of them are in the 6th round or later. So I think it would really behoove them to take 23 and deal back. And for this to be a year where they trade out of that first round, and let's try and close the gap between 23 and the next pick at 87, because I think that's really sort of the sweet spot of this draft, the second round, the third round, the fourth round. You know, if you look at The Athletic, Dane Brugger, who does like the mock drafts and puts out a tremendous NFL draft guide, you look at his 255 picks, seven round mock draft. There's guys in the fourth round where I'm looking at him like, oh, I'd like that guy. Bryce Hall of Virginia? Yeah, I'll take him. So I think this is one of those drafts where it would help them. I know people are saying draft Jordan Love or move up for Tua, do this, do that. I think they actually, given the state of their roster and how old it is and the fact they're trying to sort of retool on the fly here, I think they would be better off trading out, picking up multiple picks and making multiple picks in the second and third round, because I don't think there's necessarily a great difference between the group of players they would consider at 23 and a group of players they would consider at 53.
Trey, I mean, can't you say that most years?
Depends on the draft. Depends on the draft.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's Bill's philosophy every year. You know, maybe a top 10 pick would be different, you know, when they were in the Mayo or Richard Seymour, you know, category where there's a more clearly defined line. But my guess is that Bill would look at most years and say, what's the difference between 23, 33, 43, and 53? That would be my guess. Now, maybe this year you would know better and the draft experts would know better. But, Maz, don't you feel like that would be Bill's philosophy almost as a default?
Yes, I would say most years, yes. I don't hate the logic this year. I typically hate the, you know, what Chris is talking about is essentially a horse for two ponies. And, you know, and I'm, you know, I understand there's not as dramatic a drop in his mind, which I'll take his word for. So I generally am against that practice. I always think that the one great player is, you know, or good player is better than two pretty good ones. But I also think that it depends. You know what? If they're drafting on defense, I'll take a shot in the first round. The more that I think about it, because I think Bill's history in drafting those guys, if we go to his early years, you know, and Seymour was high in the draft, so that's not a fair one, but Will Fork, Ty Warren, like it feels to me when Bill goes defense in the first round, he usually does pretty well.
Okay. Anything, do you give any half sniff to any of these rumors? You know, Detroit has number three, you know, on the table, and they're, you're already laughing, and they're fielding calls, and the Giants at number four interested, and, you know, they're fielding calls, and, you know, any 1 in 1 million chance the Patriots are involved in any of this?
I mean, there's always a chance. I would just say a couple of things. One, the highest drafted offensive player. Offensive player. I say this because every time I say this, somebody comes like, what about Seymour? I'm saying highest drafted offensive player in the Bill Belichick era is Nate Solder in 2011 at 17. So this would be a departure if they went way, way up. I know they were interested in Baker Mayfield. Again, what did we just talk about? They have 23, and then they don't pick again until 87. They don't have a second round pick. I just don't see, again, I know you can look at these draft charts, and I understand that. I just don't see if you are Bob Quinn or Dave Gettleman, why you're willing to drop from 3 or 4 to 23. And if you know you're doing that with Bill Belichick so he can get to a Tagovailoa, and he's giving you future first-round picks, don't you have to stop for a minute and think, well, how valuable are these first-round picks going to be? I mean, this is the greatest coach of all time, and he's getting a quarterback that would have been or could have been the number one pick if he didn't get hurt. I mean, I like Joe Burrow, but let's be honest about it. Joe Burrow's a one-year wonder. I mean, Tua did it for more than 1 year. He won a championship as a freshman coming off the bench. He was, you know, lights out as a sophomore, and he was very good as a junior until he dislocated his hip. So why would a team be willing to do that? Also, Bob Quinn has stated in Detroit that, yeah, they're open for business, but they're not looking to drop way down in the draft.
I have no idea how the Patriots move from 23 to 3 or 4 or anywhere up there, given this, like, they don't even have good young players to, you know, throw in there.
We have Tooney.
Okay, so you're gonna, a guard's going to get you up from 23 to 3?
I'm just saying.
Blackmail.
I mean, on the franchise, a franchise-tagged guard? You know, I don't, to me, it feels like no way. But, you know, for the sake of argument, I'm more concerned of would the Patriots, if they could do it.
Yes, I think they would.
Would they, should they?
Yeah, I think they would. I think they should.
They would and they should for Tua.
I will say, I do have some pause based on, I had not heard what Jim said in the update about Tua's low score there. I would not, in the Wonderlic, I would not have thought that he would have scored that low. That's a little bit of a red flag to me.
It's a 13, Chris.
Yeah, that's bad. What did Vince Young score? Was he a 12?
I thought it was 7.
Was it that low?
I don't know. It was like absurdly low.
I know Vince Young's was pretty low.
Probably got tequila on that test, too.
Okay.
What did Brett Favre score?
So it could not possibly have been high. We will take your calls with Gasper on everything. One open line if you want to grab it at 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, it's a pretty interesting quarterback class, and obviously there's only one Brady, but I'm curious, how willing do you feel like you and your staff will need to be moving forward when it comes to that position and maybe altering your offense a little bit? It does feel like there are more athletes sort of coming into the league year after year, different styles of quarterbacks, and I'm just curious how important you think that is to be open to changing this thing that you've built for two decades with, you know, one guy primarily playing the majority of the snaps there.
Right. Yeah. Well, as you exactly, Phil. Just I couldn't agree with you more in terms of over the last two decades, everything we did, every single decision we made in terms of major planning was, you know, made with the idea of how to make things best for Tom Brady.
So how'd you feel about that comment, Chris? I tee that one up for you.
So, you know, I was on the conference call. I didn't get my question in.
Oh,
but, you know, the lines are muted and everything. And, you know, you're listening and you're listening at home. And that was one where in the privacy of my home office, that elicited a huge eye roll.
Did you want to scream, what about Matt Lacoste and N'Keal Harry, you
no,
liar?
No, you know, actually, my first thought was my first year on the beat when they traded Deion Branch. That was my first thought. You know, after Tom had taken a team-friendly deal out there, I was like, really? So trading Deion Branch and 2006 playing with my guy, Rishe Caldwell, who I always loved, and playing with, you know, Rishe Caldwell and Doug Gabriel and eventually Jabbar Gaffney, playing with that group, that was all geared towards making Tom the best he could be, right? Doesn't quite add up.
Okay, so you asked me quickly just because I was looking this up.
Okay.
The Wunderlich scores, right? You said, who is it? Tua had a what?
13.
Okay, so Brett Favre had a 22.
Oh, wow.
Dan Marino, Donovan McNabb, Jim Kelly, and Terry Bradshaw had a 15.
Really?
Now I have a story, and I just was Googling, so this isn't updated, but this was posted a long time, 2011. The 10 worst Wunderlich scores in NFL history. Want to hear them?
Yes.
Hakeem Nicks, wide receiver, went to the Giants. Wunderlich score of 11. That's for the receiver. Michael Bishop had a Wunderlich score of 10. He's on the list. Jeff George had a Wunderlich score of 10. He's on the list. You won't be surprised to learn that Sebastian Janikowski had a Wunderlich score of 9.
There's a language barrier there.
He's on the list. Yeah, that's what it was. Vince Young's score was 6.
Ooh. Oh, that's bad.
It was 6 on the first take, and then he retook it and got a 14. Do you remember Oscar Davenport, quarterback
No.
North Carolina? He got a 6. And then there's a couple of guys that you never heard of. But anyway, I'm not sure how it translates. Do you think it translates?
I do. So at the quarterback position, I do think it translates. I do think there's an element of being able to process information. And that would honestly be, to me, the 13 on the Wunderlich with Tua, who I really like, that's more of a red flag to me than the hip injury or something I was going to bring up. Yeah. That's a red flag. I mean, that's a low score for a quarterback, considering how much information you're asked to absorb and learn and how quickly you have to process. That's why I asked you about Favre, because, you know, to me, Favre wasn't a rocket scientist.
God, no.
But, I mean, he scored a 22.
So the average QB score, again, according to this, and it might be dated, but I'm just Googling here on the fly, is 24. That's the average quarterback score. Guess what Tom Brady had?
22.
35.
33. Very good,
33,
Mess.
Wow.
33,
wow.
Which is very high, as you would expect. Guess what Aaron Rodgers had?
35.
35, exactly. So Peyton Manning was 28, then not quite as high. I mean, I put some stock into it. I do. All right, your calls here again with Gasper. Here's Joe in Boston. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, so two quick points. Question. Vegas thinks 8.5 over under for Pat's wins. Do you think they're accounting for Stidham starting that entire season, or we got Hoyer, Dalton involved? And then quickly, if the NHL goes to North Dakota, I don't think the ice is going to be a problem. It's very overstated. There's going to be less fans, no fans in the stands. The humidity is out of the air. So I'll hang up.
Yeah, the ice thing we already addressed. Actually, if it's played in August in an empty building, you'll have better ice than if you play in April in a full building. And that's just because the ice melts when you open the door. If you don't open the doors, no matter what time of year, you can get better ice. Over under 8.5, according to Caesars Palace, for the Patriots next year. Chris, over or under?
What month is this, April? Over 9.
So for all the bashing around, it's 9.
Yeah, because it's April.
So what does that mean? I don't get right. That.
There's no stakes. I haven't seen the team yet. I reserve the right to change once we get to training camp. And I see that, you know, Stidham either throws a couple of pick sixes or is completing all his passes against air. And you know, people are raving that he's the next big thing. And then I realize, like, that's concerning.
Well, that's a crap year.
I was going to say, you know, all of a sudden you become a TV guy and you take my fence and you wedge it right up your pillow cheeks there.
Well, you know, for the purposes of this discussion, I just wanted to throw out a number that would facilitate discussion.
Welcome to Gasperia, where we go right down the middle.
You no longer have to deal with the comment section of the Boston Globe. Have a take.
Chris, you'll be doing Get Up in no time flat.
That means Felgie will be watching me religiously every
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
David, Jimmy, pull this sound from Gasper at 8:30 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. The most benign vanilla thing I can possibly say. Jimmy, pull that sound.
David in New Hampshire. Hi, you're next.
Hey, just wanted to know what the NFL is going to do with the penalty for the Patriots now that it's so close to the draft.
Yeah, so how do we read this? I said the other day after Bill's conference call, oh, here comes a punishment. Because Bill wants to get out ahead of the NFL coming down with the punishment, so he doesn't have to talk about it. But the whole week goes by, no word. Here we are Friday at almost 4:30 now. So I'm led to believe they're not going to get hit with the draft pick this year, right?
It doesn't feel that. Wouldn't it be terribly unfair at this point? Look, I think when you think about this, really, the NFL is just hoping that you, the sports fan, who right now is craving sports and dealing with and combating the coronavirus pandemic in your own life, simply forgets about this. That's the bottom line. They're just hoping that people forget all about it. They want it to go away. They don't want to deal with it. And they're hoping that people just forget about it.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think the league wants it to go away and doesn't want to deal with it?
Well, because I think it's a thorny issue, obviously, given the Patriots' history. And the reality is, no matter how you slice it and what the excuse is, they broke the rules. And they've broken the rules before. And so you're going to have a large segment of NFL teams and owners and fans who feel like they don't care.
You just nailed it. And I'm sorry not to cut
you
off.
Go ahead.
My guess is, just like the first time, not that you can believe this, but I'm right. Goodell doesn't want to hammer you. He doesn't. He wants the thing to go away. He wants just like he wants everything to go away. Like he wanted Ray Rice to go away. Like he doesn't want to have to make an enemy of any team. Never mind Robert Kraft and the Patriots. He doesn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it before, and he doesn't want to do it here. But he hears from other owners, and he's got Jerry Jones in his ear, and this guy in his ear, and that guy in his ear. He's like, well, Roger, what are you going to do about this? They're recidivist cheaters. They're repeat offenders. Roger, got to do this, Roger. And he doesn't want to deal with the other jackals in the league. That's what I think it is.
No, I agree, and that's the push-pull. He doesn't want to deal with Kraft and alienating him, and then he has to answer to the other owners who say, how many times are you going to let these guys break the rules? Because the reality is, I don't think they were doing anything in any way that was you know, malevolent. I don't think that that was their goal. But the reality is that they broke the rules. You can't film from there. They broke the rules, and they admitted that in their own statement. And I think any other team would sort of get a slap on the wrist, but because it's the Patriots, they have priors. They've been the most successful team and envied team in the league, and frankly, the most distrusted team in the league for two decades. It's a whole different ballgame. And that's the reality of the situation. But I think at this point, Goodell's just hoping that it goes away. And I think any owner who brings it up now, he can sort of say, why are you being so petty? You know, you look at our finances, you know, we're facing sort of an existential crisis here at this point. I don't have time to deal with this. We're trying to figure out the offseason. We're trying to figure out this other stuff. And he's just hoping that everybody just simply forgets about it.
You got a thought, Maz?
Well, so I think that the likelihood to me for Goodell is that he looks at it and says, you know, this isn't that big a deal. And he does. He wants it to vanish. And so that's harder to do because of the Patriots' history. But I think he looks at it as being largely a nothing event.
Okay. Murray's update is here. We're back with phones with Gasper.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
On December the 8th, the Browns and the Bengals were playing in Cleveland, and we found out the day after the game the Patriots had videotaped the sideline of the Bengals, which was significant because the Patriots played the Bengals the following Sunday. The Patriots quickly admitted to an inadvertent violation with no connection between the video crew and football operations. The league began an investigation, and the investigation still continues to this day. The commissioner addressed it at his pre-Super Bowl press conference on January 29. He said they were still looking at everything, and I was told yesterday by the league the matter remains under review. And the reason that it's relevant, if you're going to take away draft picks for the Patriots, you probably should wrap it up and take away the draft picks because the draft is next week. So this one is strange to me why it is still lingering. I was told early on that some of the league office were trying their damnedest to show that there was a connection between the video crew and football operations. I don't think it should be all that difficult to get to the bottom of it with cell phone records, text messages, emails, whatever. If there's any overlap, then they're busted. If there's no overlap, then they're clean and they just pay a fine. I'm kind of surprised it's taken, what, 3.5 months to get to this point, and they still don't have an answer, Big Cat.
And that's Mike Florio on the thing we were just talking about. It is. I know they take a long time, but good Lord.
Can I hit you with a developing thought on this?
Please do.
I also think that the alleged victim in this has something to do with it.
Oh, definitely.
There's not a lot of love lost for the Cincinnati Bengals. The other owners feel like they are one of the most shiftless, lazy franchises and worst run franchises in the league. They feel like they don't maximize revenue. They're run like a mom and pop. And so I do think if it were another team that had a little more juice, maybe you'd have a punishment.
I see. Well, I mean, I think Zach Taylor was all pissed off, the coach, but I guess Belichick's good with the Brown family. You know, so like there's those intertwining things, but it is amazing. How long that has taken. So we can continue with that or whatever you want here with Chris Gasper in studio, Maz and Murray on remote. Here's Ray in Las Vegas. Hi, Ray.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike, Tony, I want to thank you for getting us through this quarantine out here. It's you and hitting foam golf balls in my living room. But I want to talk about Stidham and the position that the Patriots are in this year, because I think they're in a perfect position. And here's why. I look at the quarterback as all these guys that are coming out. There's no Peyton Mannings. There's no Lux coming out. And you look at the last 2 years, the quarterbacks that were drafted number one. You there?
Yes, Ray, but I'm going to let you go because you're taking too long to get to your point. That the Pats are in a perfect position because there's no great quarterbacks in the draft. I don't quite get the take. Like, what are you saying, that they're fine being at 23, or they're fine with Stidham because there's nothing to draft this year anyway?
I think he was more saying they're fine with Stidham. I did think there was one telling comment from Bill in that press conference, and it was on that Phil Perry question about, you know, having a different quarterback and having to adjust to that. And he said something, he was talking about, you know, each of us has a different skill set. And then he talked about there are things that, you know, either the quarterback doesn't do well or needs more experience at or whatever. To me, that was a tell. That was a tell when he mentioned the experience thing. It's like he's talking about Stidham. Like in his mind, it's like Stidham's the guy.
So here, let me ask all of you. Is the starting quarterback week one next year Jared Stidham or someone else? Maz?
Someone else.
Murray?
Stidham.
Is it Gasper?
I think it's Stidham. I do.
Because you seem to indicate that you think Stidham's not ready, and that's what you gather.
I think that, again, I mean, this goes back to what I've been saying from the jump, which is this whole idea of this offseason of, oh, you know, Brady better decide quickly. Like, the seat in New England will be filled. You know, Bill has a plan. No. There was no plan. It's not a great plan if there was a plan. And I think Stidham is the fallback plan. And I think that's what they'll end up with in the fall, is Jared Stidham. At the end of the day, I personally would bring in Cam Newton.
I was just going to say, have you given up on Cam Newton?
I have not given up on Cam Newton. Nothing's going to happen there until after the draft, because I feel like Newton needs to be able to survey the landscape, and so do these other teams. I just feel like at this point, the Patriots, there's enough stuff that's coming out of there, whether it's players talking about, you know, the leadership Stidham shows in practice, or when he's running, you know, the look team, or just this little tell from Bill about the experience. You know, I think there'll be some sort of competition, just like there was last year between Hoyer and Stidham. Let's be honest. We all remember, like, Hoyer outplayed Stidham last year.
Hoyer was good last year.
Yeah, he outplayed him. But Stidham won the job in Bill's mind. I think it'll be the same thing. Except year, it's starter instead of backup.
They were both good.
I'm not saying Stidham was bad. I never said that. I just stated a fact, which was that Hoyer outplayed Stidham.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, he did. He was better than him.
Was he?
Yes.
I don't remember that. I remember them both doing well. But Stidham made more of an impact. Maybe I was expecting less. Maybe that's why it was.
I don't know. I thought Stidham clearly outplayed. I'm sorry. I thought Hoyer clearly outplayed Stidham. Not that Stidham was bad. I just thought Hoyer was very good.
You got a thought there, Miz?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, if I'm Bill, the more that I think about it, I start the year with Hoyer. And because I think it serves you on multiple levels. First of all, I don't think Stidham is ready. I think that is a significant thing. The more I think about it, I'm going back to what some of the stuff Greg Bedard told us at the beginning of the offseason, that they didn't think he was quite ready. I think that they believe that. And the other thing is, let's say he's developing more quickly than they thought. Don't give it to him. Don't make him wait a little longer. I don't want to say a quick ascension, but all of a sudden Brady's gone, you plug him in, and that's it. You give him the job. I would make him work a little harder for it.
We've got Tim in Dorchester. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I just want to make 2 points about the draft. First off, I'm from Detroit. I'm from the Midwest. I did scouting for a bunch of years. Big college football guy. I think if the Patriots are looking to go wide receiver, a guy that's kind of under the radar is Chase Claypool from Notre Dame. Might be available in the third round. Resembles DeAndre Hopkins a little bit. And I think the best player in the draft, hands down, offense or defense, is Chase Young. I know the Patriots won't be able to make a move up to get him.
Okay, Tim, let me stop you there. Thanks for the call. If you had the number one over, who's the number one player on the Chris Gasper big board?
Ooh, number one player on the Chris Gasper.
If you had the number one overall pick, you know, taking out need, you know, a team that needs a quarterback, you know, all things being equal, who's the most talented player in the draft?
I think he's right. I think it's Chase Young. That guy's a freak athlete. It's ridiculous. And the way he dominated at times at Ohio State, you know, if you're just saying most talented guy and you're not taking into account what's the most impactful position, which is obviously quarterback, I'd say Chase Young, and then followed by Tua. But I got to admit, you guys, I'm rattled by this 13 Wunderlich. I really am. This is like a major red flag to me.
Really?
Chris, yes. You're making too much out of this.
You think so?
What do you think Josh Allen got? And you hate Josh Allen.
You're making my point, Josh Allen. I don't want Josh Allen.
Chris, no. He got a 37 on the Wunderlich.
So
what did Burrow get?
No.
So do you know what Burrow got?
So look, I don't know what Burrow got.
But I'm looking at an article right now that has the 12 quarterbacks who took the Wonderlic. Nate Stanley from Iowa is number one with a 40. Jake Fromm had a 35. Burrow got a 34. He was third.
So Maz, your Fromm guy, you know that's big. Do you think the Patriots put a lot of stock in the Wonderlic?
Would I say a lot? No, but I think that they look at a quarterback's aptitude and ability to process? Yes.
Someone here, do me a favor because I want to read off some scores. Can you Google Jimmy Garoppolo Wonderlic and Jared Stidham Wonderlic? Can we find those out while I'm doing this?
Yeah, hold on.
Here are some past guys. Okay, the highest scores ever at the Wonderlic at the quarterback position, according to this thing I just pulled up. And again, I'm just Googling on the fly. This is from 2015, so this is a little dated. But Ryan Fitzpatrick had a 48. Makes sense, right, Maz?
Harvard, right. Yeah, I think the highest is a 50, right?
Yeah, well, 50 is the high score, but...
Right, that's what I mean. It's a 50-point scale.
So yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a 48. Greg McElroy had a 48. G-Mac. Was he Alabama?
Yeah, he was Alabama. Yeah.
Okay. 42, Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, he stunk.
40, Alex Smith.
Smart.
I like Alex Smith. I've always liked him.
39, Eli Manning.
Really?
Shocker there.
All right.
Seriously.
That's like Mayberry RFD. Like,
okay. 38, Matthew Stafford, Matt Flynn, and Colin Kaepernick. Take that, angry old white man. Colin Kaepernick, 38, one of the highest Wonderlic scores ever at the quarterback position. 37, Andrew Luck, Tony Romo. 35, Christian Ponder, Sam Bradford, Matt Leinart, Aaron Rodgers. 34 was Ryan Tannehill. 33, Tom Brady. 33, Marcus Mariota. And then we can... Peyton Manning was a 28. Drew Brees was a 28. Russell Wilson was a 28. I don't know what else you want. What did Jimmy Garoppolo get?
I can give you Stidham. Who has Garoppolo?
Garoppolo has got a 29.
Okay, so that puts him in the Andy Dalton, Nick Foles score. Andy Dalton, Nick Foles both had 29.
That's about the type of quarterback.
I set you guys up for that. Go ahead.
Jared Stidham scored a 27.
27 would be Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, Josh Freeman.
Winston got a 27? That's the upset of the whole list.
Sounds about right to me.
Who cheated for him?
Someone else took the test.
Long commercial-free segment with Gasper coming up next. Another quick thought on a draft-eligible quarterback for the Patriots and his big move from the Boston Globe to Channel 5. We'll hit on that right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Tell me, what is it like to communicate with teams either via, and tell me, is it Zoom? Is it FaceTime? How do you do it?
It's been a little bit of both. For the most part, it's been Zoom. I have had a couple of FaceTime meetings, so I've gotten pretty good with the Zoom meetings and everything, so it hasn't been too bad, actually.
Do you miss walking into a facility and shaking hands with Bill Belichick and saying, wow, I'm meeting Bill Belichick?
That definitely would have been cool. That would have been special. But to be here, and it's still an honor, and to be able to go through these meetings, it's still pretty cool. So going through them and doing my best, and whatever happens, happens.
All right, that was Peter King with Justin Herbert, Gasper. And the way that whole conversation went, I'm led to believe that Bill had a FaceTime there with Justin Herbert, and they're in on, or, you know, I say when they're in on Justin Herbert, that they've done their due diligence on Justin Herbert. There was a report that they were doing their research on Jordan Love. Do you think there's any possibility of those guys? Would you be in on Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I like Justin Herbert. I probably like him more than most. I don't think that the Josh Allen comparisons are valid. I think he's a much more natural quarterback than Josh Allen was. I think he's more accurate, and I like the way he played. I saw a couple of Oregon games this past year. I like the way that he played. I think he's still improving. He would need a little bit of time. I don't think he's a guy who's ready to step in day one, but I like the talent. And, you know, Bill mentioned on that conference call that he thinks there's some interesting depth to this quarterback class. So I think that, you know, they're doing their due diligence, but I think we're kind of burying the lead. The most interesting thing to me about that is, and this goes back to, again, I'm not trying to beat the drum, but the whole plan thing. Like, if they really thought Stidham was lock, stock, and barrel, the next guy, do you think they'd be looking at these, sniffing around these other quarterbacks like this?
No. No.
So they're not sure.
So the first-round quarterback to me leads me to believe there would be no plan. Let's see if they do it or not. If they signed Cam Newton, though, Chris, I could still say there's a plan where they think Stidham's a guy. He's just not ready in year two. They would have taken Brady back for one more year if he caved in and taken their crappy one-year offer. Tom Brady would be the quarterback this year. So they've always had it in the back of their mind. Stidham can wait one more year. So even if it's Dalton or if it's Newton or if it's anyone, a veteran, for the 1 year, I can still say it's the plan because it's Stidham and he's just not ready. If they draft a guy in the first round, then I think you're right. There's no plan, Maz.
Oh, absolutely. To me, that would be alarming. And not only no plan, it tells you that they don't like what they've seen from Stidham. So Bill had to reset this thing. The Garoppolo thing forced them to start over. Maybe he thought he was going to have a little more time. He doesn't. But to me, I told you, I don't like the idea of reaching for a quarterback in the first round, given the history of failure there. That we went over this the other day, all those Mike Lombardi numbers. You're looking at a hit rate of maybe like 33% in the entire first round, and I know Belichick is different, but I would wait and take a guy in the mid rounds and go for a guy like Jake Fromm,
especially one from Oregon. Oh yeah, Justin Herbert, he's going to be the one that bucks the trend of all the great luminaries at that position from that school.
Chris, would you do that? Would you discriminate against someone based on his school?
Oh, totally. Yeah,
I'm
Jim's mentioned this like the last couple of Saturdays on Gasper and Murray, and I really don't have a response. He is right. I laugh the moment the words Akili Smith come out of his mouth. It's a valid point, Joey Harrington. I just like Herbert. I think he could change. Like, I'll say this, you know, Indiana basketball players, a lot of those guys, you know, obviously Isaiah Thomas was really good, but your Calbert Chaney's, guys like that, it didn't work out so well.
Stiffs. I mean, I think that's just dangerous. Give me the history of Michigan quarterbacks.
Elvis Gerback, right?
Sucked.
Garbage.
Brian Greasy was okay.
Garbage.
Jim Harbaugh
was okay.
Garbage.
He
was a good coach. He was an average quarterback.
95 with the Colts. He was balls out. He was good.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Let me just start.
Denard Robinson.
Let me just start in, I'll just pick a year, 1970.
Okay.
Don Moorhead, Tom Slade, Dennis Franklin, Rick Leach, John Wrangler, Steve Smith, Jim Harbaugh, Demetrius Brown, Michael Taylor, Elvis Gerback, Todd Collins, sucked. Scott Drybach sucked. Brian Greasy sucked.
He was okay.
Tom Brady. Yeah. And then after him, Drew Henson, John Navarre, Chad Henne, Ryan Mallett?
Yeah. Well, Mallett started at Michigan and then transferred to Arkansas.
Okay.
First round arm talent, though.
Tate Forcier, Denard Robinson, Devin Gardner, Jake Ruddick.
First round arm talent.
I mean, so if you play that game, you would never have taken Tom Brady because I can't find a single Michigan quarterback
who
could play.
It's a little different, Felgi, taking a guy, let's say, in the first round than, you know, a coin flip in the sixth round where you put your feet up on the table and say, hey, Dick Rabine, you really want this guy? Yeah, no problem. I don't care at this point in the draft.
Brian Mallett popped.
No, I just think it's dangerous to do that. But we buried the lead.
Yeah.
Why'd you quit the Globe?
Only you would put it that way.
All right, so
this is an exciting new opportunity for me.
I'm busting your balls. In case you haven't heard, Christopher L. Gasper is now going to go back to being just Chris Gasper because he's leaving the Globe and going to Channel 5. No lie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I am. I'm very excited about this opportunity. I've had an interest in doing television for a while. It's really cool to be able to do it at the highest rated station in Boston in a Boston sports media institution. I'm really lucky that I've been able to work for two of the great media outlets in town. And I will say this about the Globe. You know, I know you guys, you and Maz both had distinguished careers at the Herald And I was lucky for a long time to work at the Globe, and that sticks with you. You know, the Globe's not just a big part of my career. It's a big part of my life. And I will forever be grateful for those years and the people that I worked with, my current colleagues, my former colleagues. That will never change, but I'm really excited for this challenge, and I hope I can be half as good on TV as you are, Felge.
So, oh, that's nice. You, Chris, why are you doing it?
I just feel like it was time for a challenge. You know, everybody thinks I'm super young. I'm not as young as I look. And as we all know, they don't tend to put, you know, old or unattractive people on TV. So if I didn't jump at this right now, I don't know when I would ever get the opportunity to do TV. So that's something I've always had an interest in. And it was just the perfect opportunity with Channel 5. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better station.
So what are you doing? Are you going to be an anchor? You're like anchorman?
I'll do some anchoring, I think. But no, I think primarily it's providing insight and commentary. A lot of the stuff that I do now, there'll be some podcasting, some writing. I'll do some packages, interviews. It'll be really, we're in the new media world. You know,
have you ever done a TV package? Have you ever, you know, edited sound and clips?
Not since college. No, it's been a long time. That's why I'm saying it's going to be a tremendous challenge. It's like being a rookie all over again. I look forward to it.
Man, wait till you see the wardrobe upgrade.
Yeah, seriously. He's thrown a lot of bouquets. I feel like I'm listening to Brady on the Howard Stern interview.
Seriously.
Brady and I do have something in common, you know? 20 years is a long time. You know, sometimes it's you got to switch it up.
But, Chris, all joking aside, good for you. You deserve it. And best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
So I was going to get to that. I need a few more questions.
Go ahead, Felge.
So,
turn this positive into a negative can.
No, I'm not negative. I just want to get some answers.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you going to miss writing?
Yeah.
Did you get sick of writing?
I don't think I got sick of writing. I definitely will miss writing the craft of it. But if I'm being totally, you know, honest, I think we all know, look, the newspaper industry, the sports media writing industry has changed. Look at what's happening at Sports Illustrated. I think there's less of an emphasis than there ever has been on the actual craft in the writing and more of an emphasis on how many clicks it gets. And, you know, for someone like me who actually enjoyed the craft of writing, that was a little bit difficult to accept and it made it less enjoyable.
Writing's hard. Oh, it's hard.
Oh, my God. Felge. First of all, writing is hard for the rest of us. I sat next to you when you were at the Herald. My God, you would bang out whatever you were writing in like 40 minutes. You would be gone by the time I was even done with my transcription.
Right, but that wasn't...
So you're the wrong person to be talking about how hard writing is. It was a breeze for you.
That wasn't writing. That was meatball surgery.
Okay.
Boy, when I didn't have to write, woo. The life, oh, so much better not having to write.
We should consult the expert, Maz. He still writes. Maz missed it. Maz, you missed it, right? You still love writing?
So I miss parts of it, but it's a grind, man. And look, we all know that the realities that business faces dire, but both. And so, I mean, for me, look, it was a, you know, the lifestyle was a big factor in changing industries years ago. I'm curious as to whether the lifestyle was a factor for you.
You know, I didn't really think of it that way. We'll see. I'm not sure how much easier a lifestyle it will be. There'll probably be less travel. But again, you know, if I'm being honest, we all know what's happening in the newspaper industry. There are very difficult financial decisions that have to be made by these companies. And as part of those financial decisions, in my particular case, some of the things that I used to cover, we just don't cover anymore, like the NCAA Final Four or the college football playoff. So I was already sort of on a path where, due to the financial realities that every newspaper in America is facing, my travel was not what it had been in the past, and that had changed my lifestyle a little bit. So I didn't give a great deal of thought to that. It was more about a wonderful opportunity and an opportunity to do something I've always wanted to do, TV, and do it at a great place and have an opportunity to sort of stretch my legs and take on a challenge.
So you man got himself a life raft.
So you're going to be one of those guys, like, you know, as a writer, when we go down to the locker room and we're in the scrums.
Yes.
The questions you ask as a writer or a columnist are way different than the TV guy asks. And, you know, aren't you, I mean, I remember when I'm resentful of the TV schmucks behind me with the inane, you know, fluff questions and the
asking for the sound bite.
Oh, my God. Sticking the mic in there with an inane non-question, right?
To Josh Miller while you were trying to have a one-on-one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trying to get some real information there. So are you going to be that guy now?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, look, it's all about sound bites. I have to, I'm going to have to be able to elicit these sound bites, but I feel like I'll ask my same questions. The one thing I'm going to have to do, though, I'm definitely going to have to shorten up my question delivery. It is painful to me to go back and transcribe and listen when I ask a question, so I'm going to have to get to the point a lot faster.
Well, so, Chris, now that I think of it just quickly, are you going to continue to write for their website?
That's the plan, yeah. There'll still be some writing involved. I'm not 100% giving up writing, which I'm happy about.
Chris, can I give you an example of how to do when you're covering a parade?
Oh, no.
Like, you know, the Red Sox 2004 parade, for example?
Right, yes, now, let's get it to downtown Boston, where Michael Felger is standing by as the parade is about to begin. Felgie?
How you doing, Greg?
I'm well. How are you?
Hanging in there? It's looking good down here, you know. It's just started to rain, of course. Right, we came back out to do this hit, but...
That's enough.
You sound like a hostage.
No, I am. No,
hostage. How you doing, Greg?
I'm well. How are you?
Dickerson.
Hanging in there?
If people didn't know and Jimmy didn't set that up, you would think that was, hey, Michael Felger, how are you doing with coronavirus impacting your life? That's legitimately what you would think if you took that.
How you doing, Greg?
I'm well. How are you?
Hanging in there?
Yeah. No pleasantries. Exactly right. Did you get a clothing allowance?
I don't think I did.
That's a mistake.
Talk to your sales team, Chris.
Chris, honestly, though, we're going to miss your columns on the Globe.
And thanks, man.
And hopefully you can keep doing what you're doing here. I don't know if that's been settled or not, that you can come in and do the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. I hope Bill Fine and the people at Channel 5 understand the value of having you here. But I'm not even talking from their perspective. From our perspective, we hope we don't lose you because you've been a great contributor to the show. And your columns have been an integral part of the show, having something to read and react to and bounce off of.
And pick apart
and whatever and whatever the case is. So we're going to miss reading you in the Globe. I'll say that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but I can get rid of my dictionary now.
Thanks. No, I appreciate that. It means a lot coming from both you guys, who obviously were great journalists. And Maz, I know, is still writing. And I really appreciate everything you guys have done for me and letting me be on the show and be a very, very small part of the best sports radio program in America. Who, as Colin Cowherd said, right?
Yes, that's right. Okay,
best hour, Chris, of our show every week, Chris. That's you.
Hopefully we see you next week and every week going forward. Chris, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
Best of luck, Chris.
Quick update here from Murray. 90 seconds, no spots, and we're right back with you.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.